Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I am so glad you tuned in today. I put a lot of extra prayer, I will say, into today's show, and I'll tell you why in just a few minutes. We're very expectant that God's going to move and encourage you, especially if you need encouragement today. In fact, Stephen K. Scott will join me in just a moment, and we're going to take your calls. We're going to offer you words of encouragement. We're going to pray for you. I'm going to throw that number out right now in case you already know that you need a word of encouragement today. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. So, you know, often on Live the Promise, we talk about the importance of knowing and understanding the Word of God. Well, today we're specifically going to look at the words of Jesus and how Jesus' words actually refresh us and bring power to our lives. And if you've ever listened in the past and I've had Stephen on, you know this man oozes passion, especially when it comes to the words of Christ. And you'll hear why when we get him on in just a second. Second hour, my good friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley join me to talk about how differently we show up in our parenting when it comes to parenting sons and daughters, how dads might parent sons different than moms, how moms might parent their daughters different than dads. So expect a hilarious and insightful conversation, hour two. Now, a couple of thoughts before we begin this conversation, and I'll be curious what Stephen has to say, but just was thinking about this as we were preparing. As we talk about Jesus' words, we do that because he himself said his words are spirit and life. And yet how many of us are actually familiar with the things that Jesus says? In fact, Stephen said he's asked many pastors, name 10 things Jesus has said, and so many can't. So we need to familiarize ourselves. If Jesus' words are spirit and life and we follow a risen Savior, don't we want to know and understand what he said and why he said it? That's one of the reasons we're dedicating today's show to this whole idea of what Jesus has said. But that being said, I also want to say, as important as it is to give heed to what Jesus says, it's not to say that we are separating Jesus' words from anything else that Scripture says. You know, some today are pulling Jesus' words, what he said, and in fact, what he didn't say, out of context to say, well, Jesus is right and Paul is wrong. There's a whole movement of people saying, you know, I agree with Jesus, just Paul is wrong. But you can't do that because Jesus' words don't contradict Paul's words. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all of Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Just want to say that all of Scripture is God-breathed. Isn't that great? But now, today, this hour, we're going to talk about what Jesus has to say and why it matters. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Stephen K. Scott is an international author, successful businessman. He and his wife, Shannon, have, count them, 7 children and 5 grandkids. You can find him on the web at StephenKScott.com. Sir Stephen, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. And I'm thrilled to be here. And I do want to comment about what you said. First of all, I agree with you 100%. All Scripture is given, but all Scripture doesn't have the same purpose. I once had a theologian challenge me. He says, you're saying that Jesus' words are more inspired. And I said, no, I'm not. All of Scripture is inspired, but not all Scripture has the same purpose. And I said, for example, do you know what 2 Chronicles 26:18 says? And he said, no. And I said, well, do you know what John 3:16 says? He says, of course. I said, quote it. And he quoted it. And then I said, let me tell you, 2 Chronicles 26:18 says, at Parbar westward, forth the causeway, into at Parbar. Now, that's just as inspired as John 3:16, mm-hmm. but it has a very different purpose. And Jesus, not Steve Scott, not Billy Graham, not the Pope, Jesus has made 21 promises about his spoken words that he didn't make about the rest of Scripture. And it wasn't his way of de-emphasizing Scripture, but he made his promises about his words, and his promises were to an exclusive group of people, not just his disciples, but to anyone who would abide in his words, hear them, and do them. So these 21 promises that are mind-boggling, and I've got them all listed if we want to go through a couple of them a little later, but are made to that group of people that will abide in his word and do what he said. Now, what's so cool is John 8:30, 31, 32 says, and many of the Jews believed in him. And then it goes on and he says, and to those who believed him, they were had just become believers minutes earlier. To them who believed him, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you'll be my true disciple. You'll know the truth. And he, of course, he is the truth. And the truth will set you free in context from sin or from the mastery of sin. So he makes this incredible promise of true discipleship, not to his own disciples, but to anyone, man, woman, boy, girl, 8-year-old, 80-year-old, anyone who will abide in his word. He promises they will become his true disciple. They'll know the truth, and the truth will make them free. Problem is, most people don't abide in the words of Jesus Christ today. In fact, they're far and few between, as terrible as that sounds, but I have a hard time finding them. And as I find them and they see what Jesus said about his own words after they pick themselves up off the floor, their lives are transformed, and some of these are pastors, and their churches are transformed. Now, instead of making Bible students, they're making disciples. And Jesus' great commission wasn't to make Bible students. Nothing wrong with being a Bible student, but that wasn't the commission. He said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And most people I know do not know the commands of Christ. He gave over 150 of them. And they're not like the commands of the law that push us down, but rather they fill our heart with his spirit and life. They reveal the will of God for any given moment in our life. So we don't have to walk in darkness. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And he defined his sheep this way. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. So that's my response. Absolutely. Do I love the word of God? You can ask me a question about anything from Genesis to Revelation, and you'll see Steve Scott has devoured the word of God since going from atheism 52 years ago into Christianity. But I will tell you what, Jesus' promises about his words are amazing, and I can't wait to get into them a little later, Susie.
And this is why we love to have Steve on the show. I love your passion. I love the way you unpack it. Now, we got to talk about, okay, you've got this new book, Jesus Speaks, and I want to tell you the first several months we had Steve on, we've highlighted his book, Greatest Words Ever Spoken, and that's where he takes it. It's like this thin book that looks like it's taken right. Well, it is not taken out of scripture, but it's like Bible pages of all of Jesus' words, but broken up into topics. So if you wonder what Jesus said about abiding, about promises, about judgment, you can look in this wonderful book that Stephen's compiled, Greatest Words Ever Spoken, and see it in a topical manner. And Stephen does these intros on each of these. So after that, you came out with this devotional, Jesus Speaks. And it's so powerful because you open each day is a reading, it's a devotional, and there's a red letter, you know, passage of something Jesus has said, and then you write these devotionals kind of like in the way of Jesus calling, and you write down from Jesus' heart to ours, very biblical. You can tell as you read these you've been immersed in God's word, and then you close it with another red letter word, you know, a phrase, a statement from Jesus, and at the bottom of the page you have further references. So if you own the copy of Greatest Words Ever Spoken, you can go and do further reading on the topic that Stephen's talking about. I'm just sort of setting that up, Stephen. Let's talk about what happened last time you were on. About two-thirds of the way through the show, you told a story of a woman who you had her read her birthday. I'm trying to remember. It was an amazing story. Talk about what happened.
Yeah,
then.
It wasn't me. It was someone who had been in the manuscript of Jesus Speaks for a year. And when the book came out, he starts handing them out, and he tells people, sometimes God has a birthday present for you. He says, this isn't a horoscope at all. It's not telling your future or saying it. But sometimes he's got a specific message for people on their birthday. And his wife, who is a hairstylist, was doing this lady's hair. Her husband had been murdered 4 months earlier right in front of her in a church parking lot. Mm-hmm. She was shot, but she survived. And she had been living in fear and despair and discouragement ever since. And he said that to her, and she looked up her birthday. It was April 14th. And the red-lettered statement started out with, "Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul." As she read that day's message, she started weeping. And my friend's wife put her arms around her and said, "Jenny, I'm so sorry. I didn't know this would upset you." She said, "Upset me?" She says, "The Lord has just given me the answer. I've been asking him, how could this happen? And I have no explanation, and I'm afraid and awe." And the title of that day is Eliminating Fear by Fearing God. Hmm. And as she read it, and it says, "This world is not your permanent home, and my followers don't even have to be afraid of death, because for my followers, death is only the doorway to their eternal home." And she said, "I've got to get this." And so Becky gave her copy, and but she found peace and liberation from fear and despair in a single day's reading, and it was God's birthday present to her. Even though it wasn't her birthday, the day that she read was her birthday, April 14th. And I have since hearing that story, I just was in Toronto, Canada, yesterday, and I was preaching to a small group of leaders, 50, and one of the ladies came. They all ended up getting the book, and one of them came up to me, and she said, "Will you sign it?" And I said, "Sure." And I said, "What's your birthday?" And I said the same thing. Sometimes the Lord has a birthday present. And she told me, she turned to it. She read about the first four lines. Her eyes filled with tears, and then she just started crying. So yeah, I just am so grateful, because I didn't even know what days I was writing, Susie. It was day one through 365. The only exception was Christmas, which I did a very special message. But each one of these devotions are paraphrasing, in the Lord's word, his teachings. I've been meditating in the teachings of Christ now for about 10 years. And each time the Holy Spirit would fill my mind with his words, he says, "He will bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I've said unto you." And then I would just listen, and the Lord Jesus would just preach to me. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, "What I whisper in your ear, shout from the mountaintops." And so I would hear the whisperings and type as fast as I could. And they're only 3-minute reads, as you now know. But man, the power of the Lord Jesus' words is amazing. In fact, today's, I don't know if you've had a chance to read today's yet.
I read it every morning, but this morning I didn't want to forget it because I have it at home in my devotional pile. I put it in my work bag, and so I haven't read it yet today. Go ahead and read it to me.
Well, here, I'll read you the headline is, "Let me pour my spirit and life into you." Mm-hmm. And the red-lettered statement at the top is, "The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, Susie, are spirit, and they are life." There are so many times when you feel like you are running on empty. You go through the motions, but your heart feels drained. There is a dull ache or subtle sadness that won't go away. Even when you get a lot done, you feel as if you've achieved nothing important. Though you seek guidance from others, nothing satisfies your deepest longings. That's because the words and counsel of others can only convey information, and more information isn't what you need. You need spirit. You need real life. Unlike the words of everyone else, my words do not merely provide information. They infuse my spirit and my life into the minds and hearts of those who dwell in them. In my words, you will find answers to your every question. Light when you are in darkness, comfort when you are hurting, and hope when you are in despair. Most important, you'll discover my perfect will for the moment that you are in. My words will put my spirit and my life into your spirit and life. I'm waiting for you right now. And then it closes with the red-lettered statement, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock."
Fantastic. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We need to take a quick break. This is what we did last time, and already you've got 20 minutes gone by. call in with your birthday. You can be anonymous if you want. And again, we're not saying this is a horoscope. Absolutely not. We don't believe in that. But just he wrote this book just guided by this Holy Spirit. We're going to read your birthday reading. And Stephen and I are just going to prayerfully give you a word of encouragement. We just both prayed before that God would give us a word that you need to hear today. So on your mark, get set, give me a call. First three of you get a copy of Jesus Speaks, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Call in with your birthday. We're going to read to you. We're going to encourage you. It's going to be great. We're going to try to spend the rest of the show doing this. You can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, doing something kind of different. Lots and lots of calls coming in. So if you're calling in, be patient. Give Grace your name and your birthday. You can be anonymous if you want. We're reading from Jesus Speaks by Stephen K. Scott. He's with us in our hopes that Stephen and I can offer you a word of encouragement today. Norma, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Yes, my birthday is February 23rd.
Okay. February 23rd. You ready to take that one, Stephen?
Yeah. I've got a phone in my hand.
Okay.
Why don't you take this one, and I'll take the next one.
And the next one, just to give you a heads up, is Nancy from Sioux Falls. Her birthday is December 17th, so we'll get to her next. Okay. Norma,
okay,
this is for you. And dear Jesus, I pray you speak to Norma. And Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Have you ever wondered why you lack the peace, joy, and contentment you once had in me? Have you wondered why you sometimes feel empty? Are you frustrated, wounded, fearful, or overwhelmed by your struggles and unmet needs? Do the needs of others strain or drain your life? It doesn't have to be this way. The problem is that the sources you turn to cannot satisfy the thirst of your soul. People and things can give you only a shallow level of contentment and joy and purpose. Come to me. I'm the only source of living water, which can continually fill your soul and refresh your spirit. To receive a continuous flow of my living water, you must believe in me. You must believe me. You believe in me by abiding in my words, and you believe me by doing my words. Then the rivers of my living water will continually flow from your inmost being. Not only will they bring back the peace and the joy and the commitment you long for, but they will flow out of you to bless everyone around you. I know you are thirsty. Come to me. In the final verses from Matthew 11:28, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And Norma, I just want to say, as I'm reading this, I have such a sense that God wants to use you in increasing measures in the days ahead, that he's going to surprise you. As you abide deeply in the vine, you're going to bear fruit that blows your mind. What do you say, Stephen? You want to encourage Norma?
Yeah. Get into the letters in red. Get into them every single day. Let them become the railroad track for your behavior, your guide, your answers. He absolutely promises he will answer every question, but you can't do that. You can't abide in his word and remain ignorant of his word. The only way to abide in it is to bathe your mind in it daily. And I'm telling you, I tell people, sit in those red letters like you'd sit in a hot tub. You don't have to study them. You don't have to memorize them. Just let them soak in. When you read Jesus Speaks, by the way, one thing this one friend does, he reads it twice. He reads it first, just taking it in, and then the second time he personalizes it. So the verse, the actual entry, every time Jesus refers to him or you, he says his name. You DJ. And he said in that. So
very good.
It's just a thought.
Norma,
but anyway, abide in his word.
Thank you
so much. That's just beautiful.
God bless you, Norma. And all of you on hold, hang with me because I want to talk with you so deeply. Nancy's checking in from Sioux Falls. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Susie. Hi, Steve.
So good to talk with you.
Hi, Nancy.
Yep, Nancy's birthday is 12/17.
Have it. My presence and power are demonstrated in your oneness. Again, I say to you, if two or three agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. When my disciples asked me to teach them how to pray, I taught them to ask that the Father's will would be done. I also taught them to ask the Father to reveal his will concerning issues and requests they were praying for. Seeking the Father's will in everything was to be the foundation upon which their prayer life and their prayer requests would stand. Later, I promised that even if two of my followers were in agreement about what they should ask for, the Father would grant that request, their request. Whenever two or more of you come together in my name, ask the Father to reveal his will. When you reach agreement concerning his will, ask for it, and he will do it. If you are not in agreement, simply agree to ask that his will be done. He is not obligated to give you an answer that lies outside of his will. And child, I want you to know that whenever two or more of you come together in my name, I will be in your midst in a very special way. And then the final verse is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Nancy, I love this devotion because we don't fight for unity. And as a result, we don't have it in our marriages. We don't have it with our children. We don't have it with our relatives. And oftentimes we don't have it with our Christian brothers and sisters. And yet that unity opens up the heart and mind and presence of Christ. He's not in heaven on a throne with a hammer in one hand and a treasure chest in the other. He is present. He is alive. He's active. And he wants to relate to us, and he relates to us in a very special way when we gather together in his name, even if it's at bedtime, just with you and your children, anytime there's any two of you. Christ promises he will be right there with you. So that's our word to you.
And Nancy, I'm just sensing, as Stephen's talking, that you would get a deeper sense of expectancy when you gather with your kids, with your friends, when you're at church, whenever you're in a group. Start to cultivate a sense of expectancy of what might happen, what God might do in your midst, because you belong to him and he's committed himself
Amen.
To you. Thank you, Nancy, for calling.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
God bless you. Okay, Megan, we have to take a break. We're going to get you next. Megan is July 17th. I'll get hers. Christy, if she hangs on, is 10:13 for you, Stephen. We see Lana.
Okay,
we see Pam. We see Gwen, Lisa, Linda. Do know you will have to hold for a little bit, but I hope you can just rest on the phone, take in the conversation with Stephen and I. But if you have to hang up, I understand, and then you can try back if you're tired of holding. So love chatting with you. Want to offer you a word of encouragement today. 877-933-2484. I know we've got a full call screen now. More with Stephen Scott when we return. Tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're having a wonderful, unusual day today on Live the Promise. Stephen K. Scott joins me about every month. We're drawing from his devotional, Jesus Speaks, where we're really immersing ourselves in the red letters, what Jesus has said. And his Jesus Speaks Devo is a lot like a Jesus calling kind of a Devo. And we're doing something fun. We're having you call, give us your birthday. And this is not horoscope, very, very clearly, but just really sensing maybe God has a little treat, a little gift for you hidden on your birthday reading. So just for fun, we're taking your calls, and Stephen and I are reading that reading from that day and asking God to give us a word of encouragement. I see Lana, Megan, Christy, Pam, Lisa, Linda. If you're able to hold, I hope you will, because I want to talk with you. If not, totally understand. Megan's checking in. Megan's birthday is July 17th. Hey, Megan, how are you today?
Great. How are you?
Good. I'm so glad to read to you from July 17th. And I'll give Stephen a heads up for Christy is next, and she's 1013, Stephen, in case you want to find that page, okay?
Okay. Good.
All right. So here's the red letters from Luke 6:46. So why do you keep calling me Lord when you don't do what I say? Among Satan's most devastating lies are those that convince people that they are my followers when in fact they're not. They bear my name and even call me Lord, but they do not do what I have told them to do. Many don't even know what I've said. They think that because they belong to a church or call themselves Christians, they're my followers. What people think about themselves does not determine what they are. Many made a decision to follow me, but then went on their own way. They thought the decision itself made them my followers. But what makes my people followers is that they follow me, not with one decision, but with daily decisions to live according to what I've asked them to do, said to do. Child, I know you want to follow me. All you need to do is abide in my words and act on them. As you do what I say, you'll know that you are my follower. When you do what I say, you're truly making me your Lord. And then Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. And as I'm reading this, Megan, I'm thinking about just praying that God will give you discernment in the days ahead, that people that you walk with who maybe don't know Christ, but say that they do, that you would have a discernment about teaching on these words of Christ. And Stephen, I don't know if you want to add anything for Megan's encouragement.
Yeah, make the issue following Christ. I in this group that I spoke to the other night, about 60% were not believers. They would say, quote, I believe in God, but they didn't know anything of what Christ ever said. And by when we make him the issue, I always say, oh, I'm so glad, you know, what you heard tonight is what God wants us to make the issue, his son and our relationship with him. And he's not silent. He has spoken on every single question, every need, every issue. And boy, are you in for a treat as you get to know him and begin to follow him. We make following Christ the issue because that's the issue he made. We've changed it. The evangelical church has made the issue oftentimes, and I'm an evangelical since I came to Christ 52 years ago, but we have made the issue about 1,000 different things that Jesus never made it about. He made it about follow me, hear what I say, and do it by faith, empowered by grace through the Holy Spirit, hear what I say, and do it. And boy, that's a great message for you, sweet sister, to proclaim to the world what he whispers in your ears, shout from the rooftops.
Megan, I just feel like, you know, there's probably people in your life that have a false sense of security. I mean, what haunts me constantly is Jesus saying, many will say, Lord, Lord, and he will say, I didn't know you. And I'm just praying God gives you great discernment in the days ahead so that you can preach the word of God in and out of season. So thank you for that.
And gentle boldness.
Yeah.
Be gentle, but be bold.
Very good. Thank you, my dear. All right, we've got Christy who's been waiting patiently, which is a great virtue. Hey, Christy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing so well, and Stephen's going to read to you today. Christy's birthday is October 13th.
And this was a huge revelation to me when the Lord showed it to me. I'm just so grateful for this day. Yeah, the title is Praying Honestly, Seeking Peace and Power. And the verse at the top is the red letter statement, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. In Gethsemane, I knew I was about to be arrested, tried, and unjustly sentenced. I knew I would be beaten mercilessly and nailed to the cross. My greatest burden was that I would soon experience sin for the first time. As always, my prayers were completely honest and transparent. Three times I shared the Father my desire first, asking the Father to spare me this terrible ordeal if possible. Each time I asked, his peace flowed into my heart. Then I could honestly ask that his will be done. After my third prayer, his peace flooded my heart, and I was ready to fulfill the Father's calling. This is how I want you to pray. Be transparent and honest. First, share how you truly feel and what you really want. then my peace will flow into your mind and heart in the time that follows, whether seconds, days, or days, your desire will change from wanting your will to truly wanting the Father's. Then you'll be able to honestly ask for his will to be done. You will receive your request for his will by his power. And finally, the red-lettered verse at the bottom is, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in secret. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I pray that as you go in the days ahead, that you will sense a deepening intimacy with God as you pray. As you pray in that secret place, and he gives you audacious vision for how to pray and how to abide. Thank you so much, dear sister, for your call.
Thank you.
God bless you. Okay, I'm gonna
That transparency changed my prayer life the first time I heard it. And I actually heard it from the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. He says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, in the Greek, literally let what you want be made known unto God. Now, here's what he gives when you're transparent like Jesus was in the garden. And the peace of God will mount guard. And that word mount guard is in the aorist tense, which means he's going to march back and forth, actively guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, that's so amazing. Okay, so I'm going to take Pam's call. Her birthday's 325. I'll take that one. After that, we'll jump to Linda, which you'll take, Stephen, and that her birthday is April 4th. So I know a lot of you friends are on hold. Be patient. Just try to, since you're on hold, just take it in and listen and see if any of these readings, God has something for you in these. We're drawing from Stephen K. Scott's devotional, Jesus Speaks. And just for fun, we're asking, what's your birthday? We're going to read your birthday reading and just prayerfully offer you a word of encouragement. Hey, Pam, how are you today?
I'm great.
So good to talk with you. And your birthday is March 25th. And the title of the reading for your birthday is The Secret for Bearing Eternal Fruit. And scripture, the red letter scripture from John 15:4, one of my favorites, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And the rest of that passage talks about bearing. It's to the Father's glory that you bear much fruit. And the reading says, so many of my followers weary themselves trying to bear fruit, but bearing eternal fruit has little to do with how hard you work and everything to do with your connection to me. For a branch to have life and produce fruit, it must have sap, and the life-giving sap flows from the vine into the branch. I am the vine, and you are the branch. The only way you can have spiritual life that produces fruit is by abiding in me and my words. As you abide in my words, my life will flow from me to you, and the Holy Spirit will produce his fruit in you. There is no other way you can bear fruit. Your purpose is to bear much fruit for God's kingdom. To fulfill that purpose,
Amen.
You don't... I know. To fulfill that purpose, you don't need to become more active. You don't need to become more connected. My words are your connection to me, through which my spirit will life flow. When you do not dwell in my words, the connection is interrupted. But as you remain in my words, that connection is sustained, and I will remain in you. You remain in me. Then you will bear much fruit. And the red letter verse at the bottom says, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. And I want to tell you, Pam, as I'm reading this, and I might be wrong, but just such a sense that as you've got different people pulling on you, telling you what you ought to and should do, I think as you stop and you pause and you abide, you will understand what the invitation is from Christ, where you can really be free to say no to that, no to that. God's not asked me to do that. And it'll create a margin in your life where you can enjoy the abiding life and then live out of response to that. I hope that encouraged you.
I'm interrupting. Sorry.
No.
Because of what I was going to say is the value in me doing that and what it demonstrates for others who are watching me and gathering in patience, thinking I'm not acting when, in fact, God is working through me.
Indeed. I mean, the rest and the joy on your countenance when you live a life of response versus reaction is a great witness to a lost and frantic world. What do you say, Stephen? Anything you want to say to Pam?
No, bearing fruit, and once again, he identifies it with his words. A little further in that passage, John 15:7-8, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done unto you, for the Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. As you abide in the words of Jesus, those red-lettered words, then he literally molds your will, your desires, into harmony with his will and desires, and then you end up, without even knowing it, you're praying for, that his will be done, because your will now is his will, and that's how he changes it. And then the Father gets the glory because you will bear much fruit. When you abide in him and his words abide in you, you will bear much fruit. So it's one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. Is John, the whole chapter of John 15 is just amazing.
It is. And really is the only sustainable way to live, Pam. And I just thank you for your call, and I wish you God's best in the days ahead.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks so much. I see you, friends, Lana, Alisa, Tom, Lisa, Amy, Lisa, and Linda. We're going to Linda. She's been on hold for a record amount of time. Linda, thank you for your patience.
Oh, for sure. It's worth waiting for.
You are an angel. So your birthday is April 4th, and Stephen, it's your turn to read to her.
I'm going to read it, but I'm going to tell those people who are on hold and don't get through, I will send you extra books, Susie, for you to get to them.
Oh, yay.
Because we don't want anybody to be disappointed today, okay?
That's amazing. Thank you.
You bet. Okay, April 4th. Ooh, this. Remember, when we get to know Christ, we see both the hard side and soft side. We see the hard teachings, but the hard teachings are what make us more Christ-like. So they're not really, even though they're hard to hear, they're our best friend. Solomon says the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy, and who would we rather be wounded by than Jesus Christ? So this is one that kind of wounds Steve Scott big time, and may wound you. It's why focus on the faults of others. And the verse is, and why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Why do you focus on the faults of others, yet do little to correct your own faults? The answer is pride. By focusing on the faults of others, you are able to view yourself as more esteemed than you really are. And by directing attention to the faults of others, you think you are elevating yourself. When you do this, you are seeking the praise of people rather than the praise of God. My apostle Peter reminded my followers, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Do you want the Father to oppose you, or do you want his favor beyond measure? Peter went on to say, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. When you acknowledge your own shortcomings and repent, you are humbling yourself under my Father's hand. Though you may lose the praise of other people, you will be praised by God and safely lifted up by his almighty hand. And then the closing red-lettered statement from Matthew 23:12, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. And whoever humbles himself, that's why he's such a good friend to us. He helps us humble ourselves, will be exalted.
I'm thinking as you've been reading, Linda, you know, I know when I go through these refining seasons, and I'm not even sure if this resonates with you, but he's so near to the brokenhearted. And anytime we take an opportunity to open our hands and humble our hearts, he draws near. And he is a friend who sticks closer than a brother and the Redeemer and the Savior. And to me, I feel like if you want a catalyst to personal revival, get in that humble place with God and just say, search me, and let him move close and see what he does. And I just pray that he comforts your heart today.
You know, Susie, quickly, what's really funny is what's going on in my life is the exact opposite. I've been in counseling for 18 years with a Christian counselor, and he told me that I have been suffering from projective identity. I'm the one who always wants to be wrong. Because if I'm wrong, then I can do something about it. And I chase after people who have abused me and done me wrong and wanting to make it right, and they don't want to. So it just seems like everything that's said on that day is the total exact opposite of what my life is. Because my biggest fear in my life is to be prideful. Because prideful and selfish people have abused me and hurt me all my life.
Wow. Well, you
know what? You're being Christ-like to him. And I'll tell you, Jesus didn't say this to a crowd. He said this to his disciples. And he said it to me. This was a devotion that he preached to me. And I just started thinking, okay, anytime I participate in gossip, if somebody says something unkind about somebody else, and I don't stick up for that person or point out a good, then that's what I'm doing. And so you might be the first person on the planet that this doesn't apply to, but it probably applies to you at different times. And Christ just wants us to be careful so that we can. And I will tell you, when you pursue somebody that's at odds with you and try to make things better, even when it's not your fault, you are doing exactly what Jesus says to do in the Sermon on the Mount.
And, you know, Linda, when you're on the receiving end, I feel like his word is still true. So even if you're on the flip side of that, where you're on the receiving end of everybody's judgment, it's still proving that this, you know, that Jesus has a different way, that he wants us not to be taken that route. And he doesn't want people doing that to you either. And I pray God just heals your soul in the days ahead. Thank you so much, Linda, for calling.
Thank you.
God bless you, dear. God bless you. I have so many friends holding here. I want to get as many of you in as we can, but you heard, Stephen, we're going to get a stack of books to get into your hands. So if you've not given Grace your address, we'll make sure you're able to do that. We're going to take a short break. More with Stephen K. Scott when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, doing something a little different today on Live the Promise with Stephen K. Scott. We're delving into the content of his devotional, Jesus Speaks. And we're just asking, call in with your birthday. We're going to read a birthday blessing to you and just speak to you as God gives us a word of encouragement for you. Lisa's calling in, and her birthday is March 8th. I have that one ready, Stephen. Lana is up next. Her birthday is July 3rd for you, Stephen, to read. But Lisa, thank you for holding.
Thank you.
How are you?
For having me.
Absolutely. And I see your other names up there, friends. We're going to get to as many of you as possible. Here's the reading for your dear birthday. The red letter verse is from Mark 5:19. Go home to your family. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how he's had mercy on you. And the title of the reading is, Do You Want to Be Happy? Learn Gratefulness. Child, I understand what you're going through. I know that your circumstances, struggles, and disappointments steal your happiness. Listen to me. Though adversity can knock you down, it can keep you down only if you let it. It knocks you down because it takes you by surprise. Whenever you remain in unhappiness, it's because you allow the adversary to keep your heart focused on your circumstances. You allow him to magnify the adversity, blinding you to everything my Father and I have given you. You allow the momentary raindrops of your circumstances to blind you to the vast ocean of eternal blessings that we have given you. Your salvation and your relationship with me are eternal. You remain in unhappiness only because you close your eyes to the Father and to me and to everything we have given you. Get back into my words and let them continually refresh your heart and remind you of all you've been given. Then go and tell others of the great things I've done for you. And then the red letter verse says, however, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And I just got to tell you, Lisa, as I'm reading this, I'm just praying. You know, Scripture in Ephesians talks about that everything that Christ has belongs to us, that we've been made rich in every way. And I just pray that he would open your eyes to the vastness of the riches that you have because you're an heir of Christ. And Stephen, did you want to offer anything else to Lisa?
Yeah, that you would keep coming back to that wonderful verse in Luke, that we rejoice because our names are written in heaven. Every time you're saddened by something. Rejoicing doesn't mean being happy. It doesn't mean being giddy. Rejoicing is an activity. It means having a thankful heart, choosing to say thank you, Lord, choosing to say, Lord, this hurts so bad, but thank you that my name is written in heaven. Lord Jesus, what it took for you to write in heaven. Father, what it took for you to write it in heaven. See, he wants us to focus on those things which are eternal, and we'll see that over and over again. So it's not, you may not need to apply that today, but all of our lives are filled with adversity at different times. And when that adversity comes, remember what you have in Christ and let your heart, you choose at that moment, it's a choice, to behave by rejoicing for what God has done for you.
Lisa, God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear. God bless you. Okay, so Lana, we're going to take her July 3rd. I'm thinking, Lisa, if you can hang on the line, I think we may squeeze you in, but we might not. Tom, Lisa, Lisa, Amy, Lisa, several Lisas here, want you to give Grace your address. We're going to get you a copy, but we probably won't be able to get you on the air. So if you want a copy of Jesus Speaks, hang on. Grace will get your address. Lana, welcome. How are you?
Hi. Very good. Blessed to get to talk to you guys.
So glad to have you. And Stephen, you've got her reading for July 3rd.
I do. It's whom do you look to? Whom do you trust? And the red lettered statement at the top is, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Before you can truly believe in me, you must first see me, my life, my works, and my words. When you look to me to be your Savior, the Holy Spirit gave birth to your spirit, and you were born again. Child, I am your Savior, but I am also much more. To see all that I am, you must believe in me. You must believe in me by obeying my words. I promised my disciples that I would reveal myself to everyone who would obey my commands. Child, the more I reveal myself to you, the greater your faith will grow. The greater your faith grows, the more you will express that faith by listening to and obeying my words. Your obedience also expresses and increases your love for the Father in me. We will then love you in a special way and make our home with you, and I will continually reveal myself to you. And then John 14:21 at the bottom, those who accept my commands and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. What a promise.
Lana, does that resonate with you?
It's awesome. Thank you very much.
Well, I just pray that God would continue to open your eyes to the wonders of his love and where he's leading you. And I just pray you'd feel like you're in step with him in the days ahead, particularly so where you have a strong sense of this way, not this way. You know what I'm saying? Where you just hear his voice saying, this is my way, walk ye in it. And thank you so much for your call today. Okay. God bless you, dear. So we're not going to be able to take Elisa's and Tom's and Lisa's and Amy's. So we're going to get those addresses. And it's time to pray. Alicia, who emailed in, I so wanted to read to you, and Lawana, and I'm seeing Kim and Barb. Oh, my goodness. And Melissa, I'm so, so sorry we couldn't take them all. And we're going to have to try this again maybe sometime. But, Stephen, as we wrap up, I'm wondering if you would pray that God would give us an increased capacity to understand his word, that we would develop a thirst, an insatiable thirst to be in God's presence and in his word.
Amen. Father, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand amazed at your grace and mercy that you could sacrifice your own son for us. Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm so grateful. And I pray for each listener now that you will reveal the Lord Jesus Christ through his words. Father, give them a craving for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might see you as you really are, just like Charles Stanley said when he said, we're in Christ's words, we see the Father. So, Father, that's my prayer, because I know to see you is to love you, to know your Son is to love him. So we ask this in Jesus' name, knowing that that is your will. Amen.
You are a dear, dear brother, Stephen K. Scott. Thank you for this time today.
Oh, it's my delight. Thank you, Susie. I can't wait till next time.
Yeah, you know, you just are a busy guy, and that you would make time and arrange your schedule just means the world. God bless you, and look forward to chatting next time.
Okay, Susie. Lord bless you, sweet sister.
Well, you've been Bye-bye. Listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website. Coming up next, my good friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley join me to talk about, should a dad parent a son different than a mom parents a son? Should a mom parent a daughter different than a dad might parent a daughter? I think it's going to be hilarious, but it'll also be insightful. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.